located at 3510 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson and only 25 miles from Greenville, and online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We are back. Let me tell you about Harry's. Look, how much could you save in 1 year by switching to Harry's? Enough to buy 26 cups of coffee in New York City, enough for 3 deep dish pizza dinners in Chicago, enough to pay 6 months of your Netflix subscription. How? Harry's delivers high quality razor blades as low as $2 each, which is a fraction of the leading brand and saving hundreds of dollars over time. What I like most about the Harry Shave is the flexible, soft hinge, glides across the conscious of my face, never any cuts, never any burns, none of that stuff. Look, get a Harry starter set with everything you need for a close shave for as little as $3 when you use code WALT, capital letters, at harrys.com. Trust me, you'll thank me later. Harry's is a return to the essential, quality, durable blades at a fair price, just $2 per blade. They've cut out the middleman. They bought the German factory that has been honing the finest precision blades for over a century. And the rest, as they say, is history. Oh, yeah, by the way, comes to you. Whether you're a subscription or not, it comes to you. We're a huge fan of comes to you, and Harry's comes to you. Harry's is all your grooming needs in one stop. Get to Harry's. Check them out. Trust me, you'll thank me later. Harry's has an amazing offer for listeners of my show. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code WALT at harrys.com. That means you get a razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Don't forget to use my code WALT at checkout, capital letters, to claim your offer. You will thank me later. You want to get in and in this conversation, you're welcome to 654-7627, 654-7627. Texter 304. All you do is whine and be all day long about everything. I'm looking at your text all day long. Do you work? I mean, do you do something? I mean, anything other than, what are you, a professional whiner? Look, let me explain it to you. It's a name. Therefore, it's supposed to be pronounced the way the guy pronounces his name. You understand? Got it? Look, I can only do one show. It's one speed, all right? If you need it played slower, go and see if you can play it back slower later on your own. Other than that, I can't help you. So stop your incessant whining about everything. Because I just looked at your texts all day long. All day long, you're whining about something. You want to get in, 654-7627. Kelly, I want to turn our attention to the... you know what? One more thing on baseball. You know, I had the thought watching DeGrom last night that with all of Soroka's young brilliance, imagine if the Braves had DeGrom. Then I think you might be talking about a World Series champion, because then you're going to win the head-to-head battle at the start of every series. It doesn't matter who you're facing. It doesn't matter whether you're facing Cole and the Yankees. It doesn't matter whether you're facing Washington and Scherzer. You're going to have the competitive advantage because this guy's just so insanely good. I saw a stat this morning that said, with the Mets at the four-run mark yesterday, and by the way, DeGrom had to wonder what those things were, probably wanted a rule clarification. When he saw numbers go up near where it says Mets on the scoreboard, he probably wanted to stop the game and ask for rules clarification as to what those numbers meant, because generally he has zero. You know, normally DeGrom, a good game for DeGrom is to get a no decision because the Mets incompetent play when he pitches. But I saw a stat today that said, I retweeted it, I think, as memory serves, that if the Mets, when the Mets hit the four-run mark against the Braves yesterday, that had the Mets scored four runs, just four, in each of DeGrom's last 60 starts, DeGrom would be 57-3. I mean, that's how insanely good he is. Instead, you're going to have a guy who over a three-year period is going to win a total of like 23, 24 games and win the Cy Young Award all 3 years. That's where you're headed. I mean, and you saw his brilliance last night. I mean, Freddie Freeman had a bat where he's talking to himself. He's talking to the catcher. He's basically saying, okay, the ultimate professional hitter, Freddie Freeman basically saying, okay, that's just too good. I can't hit it. I mean, he was acknowledging it. He was acknowledging it at the plate. Okay, there's nothing I can do with that. I mean, the guy's throwing 100-mile-an-hour fastballs, 94-mile-per-hour sliders, and then he's throwing this nasty curve that is just killing people. I mean, and you know what's funny? I don't know what he eats, because it looks like he gets skinnier and skinnier every year, and yet every year he throws harder and harder. I don't know. It's truly astonishing to watch a guy with that type of stuff have the type of control he does. There ought to be a law against it. You know, the guy is painting corners at 100 miles an hour and then with sliders that are 94 miles an hour. Okay, yeah, that's unhittable. Yeah, newsflash. That's what everyone else has known the last 2-plus years. And my guess is he wins another Cy Young. I want to talk about the SEC. We're going to get to the ACC later. We've covered the SEC. I've given you my my all-ACC teams. They are up on the website. You can go find them for yourselves. I hope that later today we get to talk about that a little bit, because I want to revisit my ACC defensive picks. Also, yesterday I started on the top defenses in the country. Again, a prediction of what I believe will be the top 15 total defenses this year. We did not complete that, so Kelly and I are going to go back through that today, and we'll complete that list. But where we're going to start out from this point forward is I want to jump to the SEC, because we haven't really given the SEC much attention, and obviously it needs some. So we're not going to get to the defense today. I started on the defense, and you know, when I put these lists out, you know, I think most people by now understand I have some idea what I'm talking about when it comes to talent analysis. I think we've proven that. But regardless, I take all this stuff really seriously. So I go back and watch film, and I watch film, and I watch film, and I watch film. And that's how, in my mind, I create the differences and distinction between or amongst guys. And it's time consuming. And when I started looking at the defense, when I finally finished the offense this morning, I just had too much to do. I mean, it's just, I just need X amount of hours to be able to do it. And I just didn't have enough time to get through the defense because, quite honestly, you know, this is a little bit of a strange situation, because normally, one of the great distinctions through history between the SEC and other leagues is the defensive front seven personnel. Normally, that's a key area of distinction, which dramatically favors the SEC over other leagues. That's what they have always held true, hung their hat on, cliche alert. That's what they've always believed. I've spoken to many of the greatest minds in the SEC. And they always say the same thing. They say, well, it's the defensive front sevens. It's interesting because this particular year, the defensive ends in the SEC are like non-existent. There is, now part of it is scheme, and you've got some of the best teams play odd fronts, and so your defensive ends are really glorified defensive tackles. But normally this league has more legitimate pass rushers. Now some of their pass rushers, again, are outside linebacker types, stand-up guys in 3-4 schemes. And that explains some of it. But by and large, when you compare the SEC to the ACC this year, the ACC actually has better pass rushers. There's a legitimate question, other than scheme, where some of the SEC teams are going to get their pass rush. Now, again, there are a lot of talented defensive tackles in the ACC, in the SEC, but not necessarily pass rushers. More two-gap types. I think that's an area this year that the SEC is not going to be as good as they typically are. And it's going to be interesting to see what that means for offenses, where the SEC has finally modernized, weaponized, and seems to be catching up schematically with the rest of the world. I think you're going to see some big numbers put up in the SEC from an offensive standpoint this year, in part because I wonder where the pass rush is going to come from. And again, I think in some cases it's going to be the outside linebackers. In some cases, it's going to be scheme. All right, let's start this conversation at the top with the quarterback play. Again, we're going to go through first and second team road rage selections for offense today. So starting at the top and quarterback, I think you fundamentally have four guys to choose from, and we're picking one first team and one second team guy. And your four guys, in no particular order, are Bo Nix, Jamie Newman, Kyle Trask, and Miles Brennan. Look, each of these guys brings a little something different to the table, and there are certain unknowns that, you know, makes it hard to judge. Jamie Newman in Georgia's system sounds really promising, depending on what Georgia's system is. You know, we have been under the working assumption since they brought Monken in and since they got shredded by LSU that the plan is to turn them loose. Georgia has extreme talent if they turn them loose. My question is, without spring football, how committed are they to that? I don't know. Will Georgia really LSU style transformation? Hard to say. I mean, I think the ability is there if they choose to do it. You know, from a talent standpoint, I'm not sure there's really a more talented receiver in the country than Pickens. Pickens is the closest thing I've seen at Georgia since A.J. Green. He reminds me a lot of A.J. Green. Yeah, he has a little anger management issue or so, but I'm not worried about that from a competitive standpoint at wide receiver. And I think Georgia just had the best wide receiver recruiting class that they've had in the modern era. And they already had talent at the position. You know, so it's just an issue of whether they turn the guys loose or not. They also have talent at tight end. With the same question, and again, my belief is that the only reason that Jamie Newman and JT Daniels came to Georgia is because they told them they were going to be LSU. Because otherwise, there's zero reason for those two guys to come to Georgia. I mean, especially in the Daniels case, you know, Daniels didn't go 2,500 miles away from home to hand the ball off like Jake Fromm. I mean, Georgia clearly, to my way of thinking, told Newman and Daniels that they were going to open things up. That was their intent. If it is their intent, my belief is that Jamie Newman is going to be their quarterback and that it will not be Daniels until the following year. Newman is 6'4", 240 pounds. Newman is a potential round one talent in the National Football League draft. And I think he knows it, and I think he wants a chance to prove that. And I think he's going to have his chance to prove that. But how it all comes together and what it looks like is a legitimate question. Kelly, thoughts on this before we move on from just Newman and Georgia?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questions with Jamie Newman. I think he's probably the most talented quarterback in the SEC coming into the year, but I think it's a very good question with spring practice. I've brought up spring practice so many times on Out of Bounds because, you know, we haven't really seen teams bring in a new quarterback and bring in a new offensive coordinator without a spring practice. We haven't seen that in a very long time. So I'm not sure how that's going to look. And I want to get your thoughts on this. While a texter, Ram Dog, asked this, he said, could the delay of the season benefit Georgia by giving them more time to work on a new offensive system? I think that is a caveat that we haven't discussed. That's something that makes me feel a little better about Jamie Newman and Georgia overall.
Yeah, look, that's a fair point. You know, and you know, Newman, from a standpoint of what he brings to Georgia, Newman led the nation last year in completions over 30 yards, on throws over 30 yards. And that's one thing he gives Georgia. Georgia had no vertical game with Jake Fromm last year at all because Fromm can't throw the ball more than 30 yards. He has physical limitations. That's why he got drafted as late as he did. Newman potentially opens all of that up for Georgia because he's a guy that has already proven that he can throw the ball vertically. And with a target like Pickens, you know, Newman was actually on his way, as astonishing as it sounds, to being the ACC Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year last year when he lost Surratt in Washington. The bad news for Newman was that Wake Forest had nobody to replace those guys. It's not like Clemson where, you know, one receiver goes down, okay, here's another guy like that. There's no other guys like that at Wake Forest. And when they lost Surratt, when he lost Surratt in Washington, it was basically over. And it seems like in his mind it was over, too. I was shocked. When I first heard that Newman was leaving Wake Forest, I was stunned because I thought he's in a quarterback-friendly system. He was playing really well when his receivers were healthy. I don't know. Maybe he just thought, look, this place just doesn't have the depth. I'm still not sure. I'm still not sure what went into his decision. And I do think that there is a potential of another LSU. I think that you could see that. You know, Does Georgia have the wideouts for that, though? I think they do. I actually think, yeah, you know, it's funny, Kelly, because if you had asked that question about LSU before last year, I think most people would have wondered about that, too.
True, you know, because they hadn't really been utilized, especially using Edwards-Alaire out of the backfield, which we didn't even really imagine.
Exactly. And so I think that here's what I really think about Georgia. You know, I've looked at their talent from top to bottom. I actually think they're the most talented team in the SEC, even above Bama. I think their talent from top to bottom is extraordinary. And this receiving class they just brought in is by far the best receiving class that I remember 20 years at Georgia that will fit in nicely. They already have three or four talented guys led by Pickens. And I think Pickens can become Chase. The LSU's Chase. My expectation is if Georgia does what I think they're going to do, I think Pickens winds up with 1,500 yards and 15, 16 touchdown catches and is a first-team All-American type of guy. And I think that's where it starts, just like it did for LSU with Chase. But LSU seemed to be more outgoing in what they claimed they were going to do. You know, Orgeron said, hey, he didn't hide. He said, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going all out. Now, I don't know that we all believed him, but they said they were going to do it. Georgia hasn't really said anything. You know, they've made moves that suggest this is what they're going to do, but can they be trusted to do it? That's the biggest unknown of the whole college football season to me, is can Kirby Smart actually do that? We're late for a break. We'll continue on the other side. Quick break.
Adventure on this summer. With a new set of tires, you can cruise into summer, and the Pendleton Tire Company is here to help you adventure on this season. Now through August 12th, visit the Pendleton Tire Company to take advantage of the Adventure On Tire promotion. Purchase four new Toyo, Nitto, Cooper, Salen, or National tires and receive up to a $70 rebate by mail. See Zach or Joey for complete details and check them out at PendletonTire.com. Adventure on this summer at Pendleton Tire.
It's time to look out for those summer thunderstorms we see here in the upstate every year. Don't let bad weather and snapping tree branches leave you in the dark. Be prepared with a Generac automatic whole home standby power solution from Carolina Generators, your local Generac Power Pro Premier dealer, ready to serve you. Give Carolina Generators a call at 864-232-5684 or visit online at carolinagenerators.com to schedule your free in-home Power Pro assessment. Tell them Mickey from 105.5 sent you.
The Blue Heron Restaurant, located in historic downtown Pendleton, is open for business, offering dine-in service. Enjoy your favorite menu items or that bottle of wine you've been craving. Char-grilled filet mignon, sushi, crab cakes, chicken wings, amaretto cheesecake, and so much more. Are you hungry yet? If you're not quite ready to dine in, call in a curbside order for pickup. To place your to-go order, call 864-653-3354 or 864-653-3364. Visit the Blue Heron on Facebook and Instagram for specials and updates.
William Nichols from Scores Jewelers. You know, I'm very fortunate to work in an industry that's almost entirely focused on celebrating life's good times and milestones, like the anniversary highlighting 5, 10, 15 years or more spent with your best friend, birthdays and Christmases, and maybe the biggest day of all, the marriage of two people. Her engagement ring is more than just a diamond and a piece of gold. On the day it's given as a gift, it becomes a meaningful symbol marking the start of your new life together. In a few years, you won't remember the price tag on her engagement ring, but you will remember that look on her face when you open the box. That moment of sheer joy and excitement that says so many things to her that you could never express in words. This is the true value of a ring. The reason these things are handed down from one generation to the next. She's the one. Show her with the ring from Scores Jewelers. We'll help you find or make the perfect ring that says everything you want to say the moment you open the box for her. I'm William Nichols of Scores Jewelers in Anderson and online at scoresdiamondjewelers.com, and I want to be your jeweler.
Hi, Don Munson for my friends at Engineered Sleep, 627 Congre Road in Greenville. The wife and I have been in our custom-built Engineered Sleep mattress for several months now, and our sleep has never been better. It's been so good, we had them build a mattress for our special needs daughter, and now she sleeps like a rock. Your best sleep is out there at Engineered Sleep, a custom mattress built for you at half the cost. Engineered Sleep, 627 Congre Road, or check them out online at engineeredsleep.com. That's engineeredsleep.com.
You're scared. You cannot pay your credit cards. You cannot pay your medical bills. Someone suggests to you debt consolidation, combining them all in one payment. Can you really afford that? Is there something else you can do? Call me and see if bankruptcy can help you. Call me, Robert King. Together, we will look for a thoughtful solution to your legal problem.
Thompson & King, 300 South Tower Street in Anderson. Call 222-0200 or online at thompsonking.com. Thompson & King is a debt relief agency helping people file for bankruptcy under the Bankruptcy Code.
The greatest interviews, the most sought-after guests. It's all on The Roar.
The sky is crying. Candies in the turn roll.
Welcome to the Road Rage, joined by Kelly Gramlich today. Let me tell you about Kiwi Financial Group, my guy Greg Wales, 100% independent advisors. Greg will design the plan that fits your financial picture. Every personal financial situation is different. You need a different up-to-date plan, not a cookie-cutter, one-size-fits-all program. Financial planning is more than just choosing your investments. It's a big picture analysis of your entire financial world. Investments minimize the risk from bad stocks and funds. Social Security, there are 314 different ways a married couple can begin to accept their benefits. This will be one of the most important decisions of your life. How, as a layperson, are you ever going to navigate that? The answer is you're not, without expert guidance, my guy Greg Wales. Health insurance, Medicare planning, what's best for you, life insurance, protecting your family from dying too young, retirement planning, getting the income you need upon retirement, estate planning, being certain your heirs get what's theirs and minimize probate taxes, college planning for your children and grandchildren and to maximize college financial aid opportunities. Kiwi Financial Group is on a mission to have a positive influence in their clients' lives. Call Kiwi today, 864-654-5043. 864-654-5043 or toll free 800-585-5816, 800-585-5816, or stop by their office in Clemson, 402 Pendleton Road, right next door to Max Drive-In. You want to get in, 654-7627, 654-7627. Georgia John says, love you, Georgia, love, but see only two Georgia players in your top 100 players. John, I don't know if that's true. I'd have to go back and look at that. Pickens was in the top 20, I know that. And Georgia lost a lot of frontline star players. Just to be clear, that list is the 101 most impactful players comprised of three different classes. All right, so it goes way beyond like a draft because there are three different classes on that list. So in other words, from a strictly talent standpoint on the total roster, I've evaluated every roster in the SEC. I think Georgia's the most talented roster from top to bottom. I think they have more talent than any other team. If you would just look at their recruiting rankings, since Kirby Smart has been there, they've been the top recruiter in the country. That talent's there. Now the question is, can you coach it up? It's not an issue of ability. Look, here's the thing. For example, I think Georgia is going to lead the nation in total defense. You know, we haven't got to this list yet that I started yesterday with John, and we'll get to it later. But I'll tell you right now, just skipping ahead, I think Georgia will lead the nation in total defense. There's really only one significant loss from that whole defense, and it was Reed. And by the way, what did Georgia finish in total defense last year? Third. The only schools ahead of Georgia last year in total defense were one, Ohio State, and two, Utah. Georgia was third in total defense. Okay, they bring that whole group back. And they have a lot of young talent at the linebacker level that is set to explode. See, that's the other part of that list. You know, I've acknowledged there were guys I did not put on that list, like Owen Papau of Auburn or Henry Tutu of Tennessee. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Guys who I think are one day going to be round one draft picks. I think Owen Papau of Auburn will be a top 10 pick when he finally enters the NFL draft. Those guys did not make the list. That doesn't mean they're not great players. They're just coming into their own. And when I revisit that list next year, you know, Owen Papau and Henry Tutu and some of these other guys will be on that list. Well, Georgia has guys like that. A lot of them that are just coming of age. But if you ask me today, and again, I'm skipping ahead to the Georgia defensive issue, I think Georgia is the best defensive football team in the country. I think they have more talent than any other team. They have talent at every level. You have two of the better defensive tackles in the country on one team. You have, you know, Monty Rice is the leading tackle on that football team. He's probably like the third or fourth most talented linebacker. And yet he's the leading tackler. And so all those other guys are coming. The secondary is still loaded with talent. There's really no weakness on that defense. And, you know, and if you look at what Georgia did last year, schematically, they brought more people on first and second downs. And I think you're going to continue to see them do that this year. I think that defense is going to be hyper-aggressive, hyper-aggressive. They're loaded with talent. They can afford to be aggressive. They can cover on the back end. I think they're going to lead the nation in total defense. And I'm pretty certain of that, by the way. I think there's going to be a gap, just like there was last year where Ohio State led the nation in total defense. I think there's going to be a gap between one and two. And we haven't got to the top six yet. We'll do that later. But from a talent standpoint, now People's Champ is writing me because now I'm saying something good about Georgia. He's been like missing in action for months, and now People's Champ is back. Deb Tula, save the Georgia talk till September when myself, the great one, referring to himself, People's Champ makes his return. I will explain to the reasons why we will win the Natty, and remember, I'm never wrong. Yeah. Oh, Lord. All right, Kelly, let's go back to the quarterbacks. I think from a talent standpoint, Newman is a massive upgrade in talent over Jake Fromm. From a scheme standpoint, you know, we had just touched on Jake Fromm during the break, and we said we'll talk about it on the show. So let's talk about Fromm because, you know, Fromm was very overvalued from a talent standpoint. You know, I really thought that he would never be more than a round four draft pick. He went in round five. And I think that speaks to what his talent was. But George also did him no favors. He did not play well last year. He made some inexplicable throws and just some terrible throws. I can show you throws on film where Jake Fromm looks like a 10-year-old. Throwing the ball, no arm strength, no ball velocity, that type of stuff. But the problem was Georgia didn't help him, and what I mean by that is Fromm is the living, breathing definition of a rhythm passer. He is not a guy that you can go away from for a while and then come back to him on third and seven and say, Jake, go get me the first down. That's not who he is. He's a guy who needs to be routinely throwing the ball and be in rhythm. Remember, the first half of the national championship against Alabama a couple years back, they went out and went Air Fromm, and he looked really good doing that. The second half, they got a little conservative, tightened up a little bit, and he faded. And that's who he is. He's the living, breathing definition of a rhythm passer, and so they did him no favors. They have a more talented guy now. Newman is way more talented in every element. He's bigger. He's a much better athlete with a much bigger arm, and he's a much better natural thrower of the football. He's a much better pro prospect. The question is, what are you going to do with him? You know, are you going to turn him loose? Are you going to turn all these weapons loose? Can you be trusted to do it? Can a conservative head coach, a guy who's going to fight himself, there's a similarity between Muschamp and Kirby Smart. Fundamentally, the way they see the game, they're the same guy. They're defensive minds who really believe, in a real sense, that's two reels, that offense is an obstruction to what they want to do and be. You know, Kirby came in to Georgia thinking that he was going to run the old style Alabama offense, that he was going to run a pro style attack, that he was going to be physical. The problem is he never committed to anything. You know, he made bad decisions of offensive coordinators, and he never fully committed to anything. And now they appear to be poised to go in a new direction. So that's the Jamie Newman story. And that's why it's sort of hard to decide where Jamie Newman belongs, whether he belongs on the first team, the second team, or the third or the fourth team. It's a little hard to know. All right, so that's Jamie Newman. Three more guys to talk about here. Let's stay in the division, and let's talk about Kyle Trask and what Trask is, what he can be, what he isn't. Kelly, initial thoughts on Trask.
What's the word I'm looking for? He's adequate. You know what I mean? He's adequate. And I know that's not the word that you want generally if you're a quarterback in the SEC. Yeah. You want to be described as adequate. But you know what you're going to get from Kyle Trask. 25 touchdowns, 7 picks. Last year he took care of the football. Good completion percentage. They didn't ask too much of him. So I think Kyle Trask is the safe pick, right? Because we didn't have a spring and because we know a little more about what Florida is going to do, that could be the safe pick with Trask as your first team guy. If, to your point, if Georgia and Kirby Smart really commit to a new and creative offense, then I think Jamie Newman is the pick. But if you're trying to stay safe, you're going with the absolute best bet, then it's probably adequate Kyle Trask.
You know, I think adequate is a good word for Kyle Trask. And that's why I won't be picking him.
Put the adequate guy as your first team all SEC guy.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to go with adequate for my first team. Otherwise, that league is really in trouble. But from a Trask standpoint, you know, it's that old Clint Eastwood line about a man's got to know his limitations. And the good news for Trask is he does. You know, this is a guy who basically sat on the bench his entire frigging career. He was never a starter in high school. You know, this is a guy who's been carried around playbooks for his entire life. And he's learned a lot. And that's his plus. His plus is that he knows his limitations and Florida plays to his strengths. His limitations are this. For a 6'5 guy who gets a lot of national press, he has the worst arm of anybody of that size I've seen. I mean, his arm strength on a scale of 1 to 10 is about a 4. He is not physically gifted. The NFL does not await Kyle Trask. Insurance sales does. But that doesn't mean he couldn't win the league. You know, as a college quarterback, he plays to his strengths. It's a lot of underneath stuff that Florida runs with him. They get the ball to their playmakers. He gets the ball out quickly. He's accurate in the short and intermediate passing game. He's not going to be a guy who can stretch the field unless it's a coverage bust. That's not who or what he is. But he does have a little bit of an it factor. And we saw that at LSU last year when he somehow kept his team in that football game when it didn't seem like he should be keeping his team in that game. That was the best of Kyle Trask. Now, he made a mistake or two in that game, but he was going to because he was outmanned and outgunned. And he played well in that football game. I think he's a bit of a dilemma in terms of what you do with him in terms of all ACC. They do lose some parts. That's a part of this quarterback discussion. They lose Van Jefferson. Jefferson, to me, was the best route runner in America, a son of a coach. You know, I thought Jerry Jeudy was a great route runner. You know, I thought Hill of Ohio State, great route runner. But I thought the best route runner in America was Van Jefferson. He's gone. I think that's a big loss. They also lose Swain, who was their slot receiver and doubled as kick returner. And I think that's a big loss because I think Swain was a really undervalued guy. They still have some talent at the position. And they have some explosiveness at the position. And we'll see how that plays out. The Tony kid is really dangerous in space. Little guy, reminiscent of Tutu Atwell of Louisville or KJ Hamler of Penn State a year ago. You know, that's who Tony reminds me of. And they do have the ultimate weapon. In fact, they have the SEC's best weapon in my estimation. And that is Kyle Pitts. I think Kyle Pitts is otherworldly. I think you're looking at one of the best young tight ends I've ever seen, ever. And, you know, even going back, I was watching a little of Georgia-Florida from last year. Florida starts that game last year. They're trying to get the ball in Kyle Pitts' hand any way they can. And they'll line this guy up in the slot. They'll line him up as a conventional inline tight end. They'll line him up wide. You're talking about a special, special player who should only be better this year. Now, he's going to attract a lot of attention. I mean, if I'm playing Florida, every game plan is going to center around what you do with Kyle Pitts. In case you haven't figured this out yet, Kyle Pitts will be the first team ACC tight end. I'm joined by Kelly Gramlich, Walter Petula, Road Rage. We'll take a quick break and continue this conversation.
I'm Dallin Hart Jr., and it's bow time.
Tick, tick, boom, like a powder keg in your mouth. Biscuits baked 49 steps fluffy, chicken marinated 12 hours bold, iced tea steeped 12 minutes lazy. Right now, get an 8-piece meal for just $19.99.
It's bow time.
Wait, you did not get a couple of quotes?
Should I? Did you get a couple of quotes?
Yes, replacing a garage door is a big deal.
At Built Right Garage Doors, we believe garage doors should demonstrate both durability and class. RCHI Accents Wood Tones garage doors are meticulously designed and manufactured using full-color digital imaging and insulated steel.
I'm calling Built Right.
Built Right 232-DOOR.
Built Right Garage Doors. Call 232-DOOR.
I'm Richard Thompson of Thompson & King Law Firm, and I believe that every person has a God-given desire to work. That's why I take Social Security and workers' compensation cases very seriously, because most folks don't really want to think they're disabled. They hesitate to file for disability, and when they're turned down, they hesitate to appeal their case. But they are disabled. If you're presently unable to work on a daily basis, even if you don't fully understand the cause, come see me. I'll take your case seriously. I know you do.
The Thompson & King Law Firm, 222-0200, or online at thompsonking.com.
If you haven't heard about Ingles Pharmacy, we want you to know we're here for you. In the drive-thru, in the aisles, and at the counter. Plus, with the Ingles Pharmacy app, managing your prescriptions with built-in alerts and reminders is easier than ever. We're your one-stop shop for food and pharmacy to make life a little bit easier. Everyone has questions these days, and we want you to know we're here to help. Ingles, we're with you every step of the way.
This is for the men who never settle, the ones who miss the fairway all day and still pull out the big stick, the type of guys who will always prefer to be behind the grill than in front of the camera, and the men who never let their friends forget about a high school nickname. This is the Lodge Mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Who wants to settle for a single TV? With more TVs, bigger screens, plus our fabulous scenic views, there's more to watch at Twin Peaks.
You know cars and trucks cost less than Travelers Rest at George Coleman Ford. Did you also know George Coleman Ford is always looking to buy quality pre-owned vehicles from you? Even if you don't buy from them, they can make the process smooth and easy in buying your pre-owned car, truck, or SUV. It's the way George Coleman Ford has been doing business in Travelers Rest for over 86 years and four generations. Whether buying from them or selling to them, trust in George Coleman Ford.
If baby could talk, she'd say a lot. You'd know what she's thinking and what makes her happy. But unfortunately, baby can't talk or remind you. You're the one taking her to daycare today, and she won't speak up if you drive straight to work like any other day and never think to look in the backseat. Every year, dozens of kids die from heat stroke in cars. No one is perfect, so set a reminder and always look before you lock. Where's baby? Paid for by NHTSA.
Today on Hey Culligan, cleaner, safer drinking water. We got Chris in Cleveland.
Hey Culligan, I have a water pitcher. Is that safe?
Basic water pitchers are, let's say, passable, but a Culligan reverse osmosis system can do way more and help reduce lead, arsenic, something called pesticide runoff.
Hey Culligan?
Yeah, Chris?
I'll take one of those reverse
osmosis to get the mostest out of your drinking water. Chris, we're already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with a local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
The flagship station for Clemson basketball. You're listening to The Roar.
You know, the conversations during the break are just as good as the ones on the air. And during the break, we were just briefly discussing the Pac-12 agenda, the Pac-12 players agenda, that suggested that, you know, basically they were going to get all the money and decide how they were going to dish it out. You know, I mean, they want free market solutions, except when it comes to coaches or administrators, in which case they want to shut those salaries down. But again, my favorite part of the whole notion was the fact that they wanted 50% of the revenue in addition to the NIL money, which, again, discussion of payment from internal sources of revenue was never part of the plan nor part of the discussion. California, when they initiated this move to pay players, never discussed internal revenue. They were discussing a free market solution to the problem, which is NIL payment. All of the legislation about the payment of players all had to do with NIL money. None of it had to do with internal revenue stream. None of it. So, you know, again, the whole thing is just made into a laughable non-starter. I think you lose sight of some of the legitimate elements of it. And there are some things that I believe in. I think that players are going to be paid shortly. I think it's going to operate under the NIL model. I think that players should get a one-time free transfer because 70% of the cases the last 5 years have been approved. So they're approving them anyway. They have 12 different reasons to approve them. And the NCAA has no frigging clue what they're doing. So I'm going to make it easy on you, geniuses. We're going to take it out of your hands. Just rubber stamp it. You don't need to say anything. You get a free one-time pass, but don't come back to us a second time. You get a free one-time pass, and that's it, barring extreme medical emergency. And you're going to have to make that lawyer-proof. You know, I think that players should be protected in a pandemic world against medical expenditures that have to do with the pandemic. I agree with those elements of it. But where they lost me, and I think they lost a lot of people, and they showed how poorly conceived this plan was when they went to this discussion of 50% of the revenue and NIL money. Because, Kelly, I am of the opinion they are getting 0% of the revenue. Not 50, not 49, not 45. Zero is where I think they're going.
Yeah, and we talked about this a lot on Out of Bounds yesterday too, Walt, but the 50% of the revenue was the most outrageous portion of all those demands, in my opinion. The COVID stuff, I think, is necessary, and I totally understand where they're coming from. It's a completely, you know, none of us have ever experienced this kind of pandemic, those that are, you know, living, people in previous generations have. So, and if you want to make sure you are safe and you're taken care of, and the schools are waiving liability. And so if you have a terrible situation where you are in the hospital, it doesn't come out of your own pocket, all these types of things, I'm on board. I get that. But when you go beyond that, I think the one-time transfer is fine. I'm good with that, considering coaches can just do whatever they want anyway.
Right.
So, and then some of the other racial justice things, having the you know, the Pac-12 Men of Color Summit or whatever, that's all great. That's fine. But the idea that you're going to take 50% of the revenue, my two main questions are, was a single female athlete consulted on this? Because that's not the system. That's not how it works. If you do that and you give 50% of revenue to football players, female athletics is basically going to not exist. And then secondly, you're going to take 50% of the revenue, but you're not going to pay for 50% of the expenses. So if you, let's say each player gets $100,000 out of that, well, if you go to Stanford, $70,000 of that goes to tuition, and then you're left with whatever else. So it's things like that I'm not sure they really thought through. And I would even argue that if you're taking 50% of the revenue and you're each getting a cut or whatever, the value of the scholarship is probably more than the actual cut of money you would receive. So I just can't stand it when people devalue the scholarship and what it means. I'm all good with NIL. I think NIL and the ability to make money off your likeness, that's good. That's a way to get extra income. But we have to stop devaluing the scholarship and all that comes with it, because it is extremely valuable and it is what you make it to a certain extent as well.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and amongst those things are all the incredible professional training that you get to grow who you are as an athlete towards the next level, as well as the advertising of your wares that you get. You know, the value of a scholarship is worth way more than face value. There are all sorts of intangible elements in that, if your destination is really professional sports beyond that. You know, the one thing I will say on the female athlete issue, at the very least, female athletes enjoy Title IX protection, so none of that is feasible. You really can't damage female athletics because it's protected by law, as you're well aware. What you can damage is actually a lot of the other male sports. Like, one male sport that gets killed all the time is wrestling. Wrestling gets wiped out in all these conversations. But yeah, this would potentially wipe out all of those lesser sports that males are involved in. And it's not going to happen. You're not... You know, it's that old adage of cake and eat it too. That's what they're asking for. They're asking for the moon. I mean, they 50% of the internal revenue, and then we also want the external revenue. And oh, by the way, you coaches, you got to give your money back, and you administrators and commissioners, you need to give your money back, because we're gonna want to rein that in. Now, look, I do admit that spending on facilities is probably a little out of control. I do agree that but you know,
I'm with you on that, like, Walt. That they made a good point there, but you know, I mean,
but you know, it's funny, Kelly. That's also the reason they chose their schools.
True. When you visit, you see that slide.
Right.
You're like, I'm in.
But now it doesn't suit their purposes anymore. Look, do I think collegiate athletes need more than they're getting? Yes. Do I think they need better protection? Yes. Do I think there are ways to accomplish that? Yes. Do I think that this is the path forward? Hell no. No, that's not the path forward. Because honestly, Kelly, it sounded a little like this. It sounded a little like this. COVID. Give me money. That's what it sounded. You know, like, sort of like Cespedes of the Mets. You know, Cespedes opted out for COVID when his batting average went to 160. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying that their move was disingenuous, but I'm saying they're all going to be playing starting September 26th, so you can judge how disingenuous it was at that time. But I think it wound up sounding like a money grab, and it's not going to be a successful money grab because, you know, I will say this. Collegiate sports is not necessarily a free market deal. I mean, if we wind up paying players by NIL, it will be a free market solution, and I think it's the only real workable solution, because, you know, even these schools that make money and maybe reinvested in athletics, you know the world isn't dominated by the winners at the top. The norm is the Oregon States of the world, who are probably already operating in the red. So what are all those schools to do under this scenario, especially since that's a Pac-12 school? I don't think there's any way that those schools could continue to thrive. But the other part of it is this. Collegiate athletics has to be more than just a free market solution, because if it was solely a free market solution, we would only have two sports. We would have football, and we would have men's basketball in many places, but not all. And that'd be it. There wouldn't be any other sports. There wouldn't be any women's sports. There wouldn't be any other men's sports. That'd be it. If we're saying, you know, what sports generate revenue? Okay, that's it. Those are the sports that generate revenue, and you wouldn't have anything else. Collegiate athletics is more than that. It's not just about preparing people for the pros. It's about the experience and the sort of God-given right to as part of your collegiate experience, participate in sports that don't necessarily have an end game of a paycheck, just part of the experience, and that's the way it should be. That's why I think we should fund as many sports as humanly possible on a collegiate basis, Kelly. Kelly? Oh, Kelly must be busy talking to callers. But I want to get, I want to quickly get her thoughts. And Roger, I know you've been hanging on. I'm coming to you. Roger, Snaphook, Angry Lawyer.
I'm back, Walt. I'm back.
All right, Kelly, I want you to respond to that. And because, again, to me, you know, again, if it was solely free market, if it was solely, the only sports that would survive are football and men's basketball in some places. But again, the collegiate experience is more than that. It's not just about professional end games. It's about young people going to school and having the opportunity to participate in athletics because
right.
It's good for the culture. It's good for the mind. It's good for the body. It's good for the soul. It's good for the campus. It's good for everybody. So I'm in favor of funding as many of those as possible.
Definitely. And I think there's a way for two things to coexist. I think there's a way for big time college athletics, which has become a big business, to coexist with the actual root of what college athletics should be, which is providing educational and athletic opportunities to young people through sport. I think those things can coexist. Now, it is a problem that we're going to have to deal with, I think, in the next 10, 20, 30 years, because it has led to big business, which no one really foresaw. And we're talking multi-million dollar business, right? So that's where you bring in some different tweaks to make it work better for everyone, NIL and things of that nature. And maybe, who knows, maybe in my lifetime we do blow the whole thing up and rework it. But I don't think we can get away from the core, which is to provide these educational opportunities to men and women. And most of these people, some of these people, not most, but it depends, who are able to use sport to better their lives for the rest of their lives by getting an education. And if we did away with that, which to me is the core purpose of it, it would just be a shame.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I just think it's a part of the collegiate experience. Most of these athletes are never going to have pro careers. It's just a part of that experience, and it's a part of